This is Mark Strassman, a reporter with Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to John Joyce, who's the president and CEO of Ambien Corporation. Welcome to Broadband Over Powerline World.
Mark, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Over the last few days, an interview I did with Susan Kennedy, who's a commissioner on the California Public Utilities Commission, saying that it's important to get more BPL a demonstration or commercial rollouts in California going, has created quite a stir in the amateur radio community. The president of their group sent a letter to her last Friday, complaining and telling her to back off. I'm wondering whether you think this indicates that Broadband Over Powerline has really come off the pole and into the public awareness.
I think, Mark, especially since the FCC announcement, their new rules that were established a couple of weeks back, public awareness of Powerline Communications, BPL, as it were, is clearly come into the mainstream. Yes, it has.
Okay, we're going to get back to that interference issue later in the conversation, but why don't we just allow you to give a brief statement about why Broadband Over Powerline is important now and what the role of Ambien Corporation is in propagating it.
To answer that question, Mark, the importance for Powerline Communications or Broadband Over Powerline, first let me just mention Ambien is all Powerline Communications because we believe it's more than just broadband. It is also enabling the utilities to improve or enhance their network and their ability to deliver electricity.
And of course, in an era of potential outages, homeland security, and national level integration, that's a pretty important point.
It clearly is. It's clearly the FERC, not only the FCC issued their rules back a couple of weeks back. The FERC did a very unprecedented thing in joining the FCC in promoting, if you would, the opportunity to allow for power line communications. But for the utilities to enhance their grid, to better manage outages, to enable more demand-side management, more accountability, if you would, to the customers, to enhance their product, their ability to deliver electricity, I think it's a significant part of the whole power line communication opportunity.
Okay, there are two headlines on the Ambien site right now that maybe we could touch on just very briefly. One of them says that Mr. Howard Pierce joins your Ambien board of directors. What's the story with that?
Howard is a long-time energy person who worked with ABB, has worked with utilities globally, has worked in developing businesses in different parts of the world. Bringing on a person such as Howard Pierce really adds some strength to our board. And quite frankly, the timing is perfect for us because as we look toward the commercialization process, we look toward the opportunities in 2005, we wanted to have that experience that Howard brings to the board. Again, it strengthens our board. It helps to create a more independent board, a more powerful board, and again, brings experience that, quite frankly, we did not have on the board prior thereto.
Okay, the second headline said that Ambien has some new patents. What are the new patents for?
Ambien's core patent is on inductive coupling technology.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in depth in a second.
Okay, but the patents that we've been awarded recently now increases our patent portfolio to four patents in the inductive coupling, all surrounding, if you would, our core patent inductive coupling.
Okay, let's
talk. What's significant about that, Mark, is that, again, it strengthens Ambien's intellectual property and the core basis for our business model.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a few seconds. Say a little bit about how you came to Ambien and while you're doing that, about the background of the company in general.
Okay. Mark, personally, I joined Ambien in the year 2000. Prior to that, I headed up an energy consulting practice, a practice that was consulting to many of the utilities in North America and globally. Actually, our largest customer was Electricité de France.
Right.
I was introduced to Ambien by my predecessor and thought that this was an excellent opportunity, that is, Powerline Communications, for the utilities to enhance and better use their assets that were already in the ground. And so I actually made a decision to join Ambien, a small little company at the time, in November 2000. I actually accepted the responsibilities of CEO and president in September of 2001. and have been with the company as we've grown.
Okay, let's make it clear to everybody what exactly the mission of Ambient is and where it fits in the structure of Broadband Over Powerline. What products or services does Ambient contribute to the Broadband Over Powerline space?
Ambient is a true systems integrator. We bring to the space the technology that enables the utilities to build out a two-way communication network, which is all IP protocol based. It is our technology, as I mentioned, the core technology that is where the building block, if you would, for Ambient. We build on that by adding to that portfolio of technology, license agreements, and other additional technologies that allow us to bring to our partners the full technology and know-how for building out a network at this time.
Okay, now the core of that is something that you've referred to already as inductive coupling. What is inductive coupling? Who thought it up? How does it work? And what role does it play in making possible broadband over power line internet?
Mark, simply stated, the couplers provide the means to transmit on and receive modem signals from the power lines. Historically, one of the primary issues blocking the rollout of power line communications, especially on the medium voltage system, was the lack of inexpensive, easy-to-install, low-maintenance, if you would, passive coupling that could be installed, and what's key to this, that can be installed without interrupting the power across the lines. I mean, the utility does not want to have to shut down their power system to deliver a different type of product or system.
So right.
Ambient's coupling device allows for a simply to be clamped over the power lines while it's energized, and quite frankly, just makes for a much easier installation, a safe installation. It just is something that over the last 3 to 4 years, that technology has enhanced to really help bring out the opportunity for power line communications.
And what this is essentially is something that wraps around the power line and then injects the internet signal and takes out the internet signal right from the line.
That is correct. That is correct. And it can be operated, the ambient coupler can be operated in the overhead environment where we've been working with Con Edison now since 2000. It can be on pan-mounted or what they refer to as underground systems as well.
Now, I'm starting to understand that there's traditionally been a problem of getting around transformers.
Well, that is correct. That's actually what the...
What's that problem and how do you deal with it?
Well, again, it's the coupling technology allows to take the signal or to go around, if you would, or bypass the distribution transformer on the utility lines. Distribution transformer is the box you see, if you would, for the average person, if you're looking up at the pole outside your home, that actually brings the electricity, the current levels, down to where it can be delivered into your house.
Right.
At those levels. Well, that device also acts primarily as a blocking device, if you would, also for the high-frequency signals used in power line communications.
Right.
The ability to bypass that blocking device is very, very important and very key to being able to deliver, to build out a network. Two-way communication network.
And the ambient products allow that to happen.
That is correct. It's actually our first patent, which has a priority date going back to 2000, is exactly that. It allows for the ability to use inductive coupling to bypass the distribution transformer.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the industry as a whole and Ambient's place in it. Are you a leader? Are you the only a player in the field? What's Ambient's position vis-a-vis your competitors?
There are a number of different competitors, different sizes that focus on different aspects of the business. Ambient is a true, what we refer to as a power line communications using the physical power lines of the utility lines right to the outlet in your home. Others may focus on use of Wi-Fi, certain aspects of the system, but Ambient is delivering the signal, what we refer to as the last mile or last 100 yards or last feet, if you would, using the utilities network, both on the medium voltage levels, which is referred to as primary distribution voltage, to the secondary, or as in the secondary side of the distribution transformer, as well as into the home. So it's a true wire play. It's using the utilities lines right to the outlet in your home, which, as I mentioned, is different than some of the competing technology and different competitors focus on different aspects of the system. But Ambient is not only supplies the equipment, but as I mentioned, another differentiating factor is that we will help design the network. We'll help to train utility line crew, for example, in installing the equipment. And so Ambient is not only that network designer, we'll supply the equipment, and we'll work with different utilities or utility subsidiaries or, again, maybe independent parties to bring the full network to the end customer.
What utilities are you working with now that you can talk about?
The primary utility and development partner that we've been working with, actually going back to 2000, is Consolidated Edison in New York.
Right.
We've been working with Consolidated Edison both in original testing that we started back in 2000. We've actually set up our first pilot in an overhead environment in Westchester, New York, back in 2002. Up and running now. We've had that system up and running for 2 years. We have actually been doing other work with Con Edison at other sites to take the equipment, the technology, to the stage it is today, which is ready for a commercial rollout in different parts of the world.
Okay, so given the structure that you have as a company then, utilities can come to you and essentially get one-stop shopping to convert their last mile into an internet a network.
I think that is one of the aspects that interested Con Edison back in when we first started working with them, and it is true today, is that yes, we are considered a one-stop. You can consider Ambient a one-stop shop.
Okay, now you mentioned two advantages, I think, for utilities. One is that they can upgrade the smartness of their own operations, and secondly, that they can have an additional revenue stream from customers getting internet access. What can you say about the general financial picture of utilities in the United States as to how important these two elements are to them at this point?
Depending on the utility,
right,
they have a different perspective, quite frankly. Some of the utilities, some of your municipalities in the country are clearly looking at the ability to deliver broadband.
Right.
Your larger utilities, your larger investor-owned utilities, such as Con Edison that we work with, some of the other larger utilities that have been focused on this, look at it more than just the ability to deliver broadband, but actually look at it from a standpoint of being able to enhance their system. Certain states, for example, already require or are starting to require the ability for real-time pricing, being able to offer a customer real-time pricing, meaning that, okay, if you're going to use electricity during the peak hour, it costs X. But if you use electricity at different off-peak hours, it's X minus something. And in order for a utility to actually offer that, to be able to offer that, they have to be able to read the meters on a real-time basis.
Exactly.
Satellite communications is one of those technologies that actually allows that or enhances that capability.
Okay.
So, again, Mark, to answer your question, it depends on the utility. Some utilities are interested in, again, delivering broadband. Others are interested in enhancing their system. Others are interested in both. And it's the business model of the particular utility that makes the difference.
Okay, now last week I contacted three large investor-owned, the three largest investor-owned utilities in California. San Diego Gas and Electric, a Sempra company, said they were looking into broadband over power line. The other two, PG&E and Southern California Edison, indicated that this wasn't on their agenda at all. What are you doing, if anything, to increase awareness and interest on the part of large utility companies in moving towards BPL?
Mark, Ambient and myself personally have been visiting with different utilities going back to when I first joined the company. In fact, that was probably one of my primary responsibilities when I first joined. Today, we're still visiting with utilities that, because of the FCC issue and because of the FCC issuing the final rules, if you would, utilities are starting to become even increasingly more interested. Some of them have not focused on, you mentioned some of the others in California that have not focused on, historically speaking, power line communications. But as this industry begins to become more in focus, utilities are starting to realize there are significant benefits. And what you're finding in quite frankly, in some of the California utilities, they're starting to think, how does this make sense for them? And so they're looking for the Ambients of the world that have been here and been in the industry, in the market, for a number of years to help them to learn how does this help them.
Okay, now you mentioned that municipal utilities seem to be more interested in using BPL to provide internet access to their customers, right?
In certain areas of the country, especially in the more rural areas of the country where you might not have cable, you might not have the capability for DSL, there's clearly an interest in power line communication.
Okay, no one's going to call Philadelphia rural. Philadelphia has appointed the city has appointed a panel to look into wireless broadband access for the citizens run on the municipal level by the city. Verizon went out of its way to make sure that Pennsylvania passed a law saying that cities cannot offer broadband access to their citizens. They signed a side agreement to allow Philadelphia to do it. But for the rest of the state, Verizon has put in a law through the legislature saying that municipalities cannot offer for compensation broadband access to their citizens. How is that going to impact Ambient's position vis-a-vis municipalities in states that have similar laws?
There's been some lobbying and some efforts on the part of some of the incumbents, if you would, some of the individual states, to pass similar laws to what you just mentioned. In most states, those laws have not been, those efforts have not been successful. And in fact, quite frankly, I'm not sure how that works to the public's benefit. And I'm not sure how different governing bodies would pass such laws because it decreases competition. Competition is something that is spoken about by the FCC. The current administration has mentioned the importance for power line communications being a potential competitive technology to some of the incumbents, and so thus helping to bring down price or actually deliver broadband to parts of the country that currently don't have them. So I think those type of initiatives will eventually not be successful.
Okay. Now, you, as a previously a consultant, and now in your current position, you're well aware that there are investor-owned utilities and there are publicly owned utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Ambient's technology works equally well on all those. The electrons don't know how they're regulated or owned, right?
Ambient's technology has been designed to work on all different topologies, whether it be overhead, underground, whether it's the legal structure of the utility itself does not affect the technology working or not working.
Exactly.
What you're referring to, essentially, or what you're actually referring to, is the business model. What makes sense for the different utilities, whether it's investor-owned or municipality. And
right.
Quite frankly, that does not make a difference from a technology perspective.
Okay, from the political and financial perspective, the argument has been raised. Now, they're used to, when the TVA went into place, people said, you know, the government shouldn't be in the power business. And I've discovered in the last week there are people who believe that government shouldn't be in the internet access business either. Do you have any position on that? Do you feel that it is legitimate for the city of Philadelphia, the city of Los Angeles, the state of Utah to offer as a service to their residents a utility in addition to water and electricity, internet access?
A very simple answer, why not? I mean, again, if the goal is to try and the goal of the current administration is to try and cross that digital divide, if you would, make broadband available to all citizens, all people like you and I, Mark. And the point being is it doesn't matter where you live. If the best way to get that service to you is through the local municipality, why not, number
okay.
one. Number two is, again, I'll go back to the concept of competition, helping to drive down the price, getting a better product to the customer, to the citizens of the United States at a better price. So if it's through the municipality, which already owns the electric grid system, why should they not be in this business?
Okay. Two last subjects, we're going to wrap up with it. Let's talk a little bit about the company, Ambient. Is it privately held, publicly traded? What's happening if it's publicly traded? What's the situation there?
Ambient is a publicly traded company. It's what they refer to as a bulletin board, over-the-counter stock.
Right. Where is it the last time you looked, the price, stock price?
We're in the 32, 33 cents. Price range.
Okay. If people want to buy it, where do they go? How do they buy it or sell it?
It can be purchased. The symbol is AB, as in boy, T as in Thomas, G as in George. ABTG.
Right.
Again, it's one of the few truly PLC plays that can be traded in your own portfolio that you can invest a couple of dollars and watch the industry grow.
Well, where is the distribution of the stock now? How much is held by company members, and how much is out there for sale on a general basis?
It's actually freely tradable. Our largest shareholder is Consolidated Edison in New York, which currently owns about 22-23%, I believe. Most of the rest of the stock is held by individuals. Based on our analysis, most stock is held by people owning less than a couple hundred thousand shares that have held it for a long time. I think most people looking at this industry realize there's still to be significant large commercial deployments, but it's an industry that looks to have a good future, long-term future, and so there's potential risk, but the upside potential is very significant for the industry.
Knowing that anything you say here is a forward-looking statement under the SEC rules and it's subject to all kinds of risks, is there anything that you can say about the future position of the stock in terms of other exchanges or where the price could go if BPL really takes off?
Mark, I would love to speculate on that, as you fully well are aware. It is something that it's not in my purview to actually be speculating as to where the stock will go. Ambient is a company that is a late-stage development company. As we mentioned, the stock is trading in the 30 cent range. We've positioned Ambient to take advantage of this market, the opening of this market here in North America. We think we've positioned it well. We think we'll be able to take advantage of all of the opportunities, or many of the opportunities that will be presented to us. And so, therefore, Ambient's a company that looks towards real growth. But you're right; it's a risk. There's a risk associated with that, and for me to try and even project where the stock will go, I cannot. But I think the company management, the team, has positioned itself well to take advantage of this market.
Okay. Now, the last subject I want to bring up is the fly in the ointment here, and it's something I alluded to right at the beginning, and we're going to come back to it and close with it. It's the subject of radio interference generated by broadband over power line, in particular against the operations of amateur radio operators who are apparently very upset about having their entire technical world obliterated by this. What can you tell us on the technical level and the regulatory level and in other ways about what the situation is in terms of broadband over power line generating electric radio frequencies that interfere with amateur radio operators?
Mark, there's many ways to answer that question. Actually, Ambient has been one of the leaders in trying to work with the amateur radio operators in ensuring that their world is not
obliterated, yes.
Is there interference? There's interference on the power lines. Power lines as they exist today with no network over them, no communication network over them, are an interference. And so actually there are some that believe that the installation of a power line communication network will actually help to decrease that interference. But in addition to that, what's very important is the FCC has actually issued different guidelines, different rules for how to ensure that there is no, quote, harmful interference. And that's an important aspect to this. What is interference and what is harmful interference? The technology to date is capable of what they refer to as notching out, meaning notching out so that we do not transmit over particular bands where the amateur radios are operating in. And so there's a technical capability for working with the ARRL and the amateur radio operators. There is a desire to work with them because, again, no one is in the interest of ruining anybody's current hobbies and interests. And so the goal is to actually work with
Is Ambient involved in any kind of working groups that involve both AARL and the BPL industry? Do you think it would be good to set something like that up if you're not?
Well, it's actually, Ambient is very active with the IEEE in it trying to establish standards and different and looking at the industry. The ARRL also has membership in that. So working through the IEEE, yes, we are working with the ARRL. But in addition, historically speaking, Ambient has been had open communications with various individuals in the ARRL to actually work with them to ensure that the issue of harmful interference is addressed.
Okay. Would you personally or someone else from Ambient be willing to, say, for example, appear on Broadband Repair Line World along with someone from ARRL to talk these issues over?
Yes, we would be willing to do so.
Okay, good. Well, we'll try to schedule that as soon as we can then.
Mark, I actually believe that is something that I think there are opportunities, as I mentioned, in the IEEE, for example, that there has been open discussions, and we'd be interested in that because, again, I think what's very important here is that in the end, the ARRL it continues to have the capability of transmitting signal and receiving signal. And that, and quite frankly, I think it's also very important that there is no, in fact, harmful interference.
And you think it would be possible to do a very broad rollout of broadband repair line without seriously interfering with the operations of amateur radio?
We think that is very possible without harmfully interfering.
And you're interested in pursuing further discussions with them to make sure that the harmful interference doesn't take place?
I think the current environment demands things. I think it demands that those conversations, it demands those working together, which is, as I mentioned, the gentleman from ARRL, I believe, that participated in IEEE meetings is Ed Hare, and he's been very active in talking with Ambient as well, and we'd love to continue that dialogue.
Okay, good. Let's wrap up then by giving you a chance to talk about your general vision for BPL over the next 2 or 3 years and the role of Ambient in that process.
I've actually thought, and someone reminded me just recently on one of my recent trips, that I'd actually stated back in 2003 that I thought 2005 would be a watershed year for power line communications in North America. The belief for that, Mark, was it required the FCC to set down some basic rules so that the utilities understood what environment they were working in. I think with the FCC rules having been put in place, I think with the promotion and assistance of FERC interested in enabling and enhancing the distribution grid of the utilities, I believe the opportunities for power line communications, or BPL, are clearly now becoming more in focus to the different utilities, whether they be investor-owned, larger investor-owned utilities or municipalities. As I've stated earlier, Ambient has positioned themselves to be ready to take advantage of those opportunities. And I see on a regular basis those opportunities becoming more and more in focus. And again, we'll be there, Ambient will be there to take advantage of those. We look forward to working with not only some of the larger investor-owned utilities such as Con Edison, but some of the smaller utilities that are willing to do commercial build-outs and have an interest to do commercial build-outs in the near future. And Ambient would like to be, and we position ourselves to be a part of that.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you very much for explaining all that and talking to us on Broadband Over Powerline World today. And I look forward to continuing this discussion as we go forward.
Mark, as I do, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.